Oh, it's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Good to be a child of God. Great to be highly blessed, greatly blessed and highly favored. Imperfect. I thank God I'm forgiven. I'm glad that God forgave me. I'm glad that He loved me. I'm glad that He's put His protection upon you that have been in armed services and allowed you to be back here with us, that have served your country and been able to return. For those that gave the ultimate price, that God would bless their families for their sacrifice for us in America. We could take advantage of the opportunity to be able to go to God's house because men and women have gave their life to protect the freedoms that we have. Our forefathers had the courage and the foresight to found a country founded upon God. And though we have strayed far away, we can have an opportunity to return. To once again, that we can be greatly blessed and highly favored. We are favored and blessed more than we deserve for the way that we serve our God. But this weekend is a day of remembrance, a day of memorial services for those that have gave their life in the line of service. We're thankful that Ben's been able to return. As Monterey had said, that some of his friends had been killed there and people that he knew while they were in Afghanistan. But God had put His hand of protection about him. And whether God chooses to bring some home and some have to give their life for their country, that's God's plan and what His purpose is. And I don't always understand it. But I'm thankful that God loved them just like He did me. Gave them an opportunity for salvation. I pray that they were in God's army as well as in the armed services of this country. And that one day we'll be able to see them and thank them for their service. Thank them for giving their life that we could take advantage of being here. And we take it so lightly, our liberties that we have been given to in this country by the sacrifice of so many. Some gave all gave some, but some gave all, a quote from a song that was sung a few years ago. And so apparent that it is, that there is still some given a little, but all are given, or some are given all for the work of God and for furthering the Word and carrying it out. And we see now in the book of Nehemiah, if you will, turn with us to Nehemiah chapter 1 this morning as we remember back to the way things were and the way things have been, as we think back to those that gave their life, as we think back to those that have been scattered and brought back together, as only God can bring back, though we may be scattered apart from time to time, God is the one that holds us together. He is like the nucleus of the atom. He holds it all in perspective. He holds it all together. And the opposite charges, I may be a positive, you may be a negative, and vice versa. Sometimes I may be the negative and you be the positive, but all together we make up the whole nucleus of God there together, working together, and opposites working together to carry out the work of God. And God can use each and every one of us, just like He was going to use Nehemiah for the rebuilding of the city of Jerusalem. He was remembering the glory days in the way that it was wondering about his kindred that were there and those that had escaped the captivity and what had become of them. And today I'm wondering how many are still escaping the hand of God that are running today from His drawing grace and mercy, running from the hand of God that is upon their life, trying to get them to turn their heart and life over. How many are trying to escape His hand that want to stay into submission to Satan, lost in sin, dying and going to a devil's hell? How many people today think they're escaping that awful, terrible God that's out there that does so many bad things? Listen, let me tell you, that's a lie that devil's telling people today, that God's an evil person sitting up there causing bad things to happen to good people. It's what sin has done to this world that we live in that causes the bad things to happen to the good as well as the good things to happen to the bad. Well, today with the life that we live in, some of those things and the way some people act and the things that they have, this is the only heaven they're going to enjoy, only time of peace that they're going to have. But now we see that Nehemiah here, as he was thinking of his homeland and thinking about his kindred, thinking about those that maybe he knew that had escaped as they had been taken into captivity, carried off into Babylon, and the things that was going on, that what might have become of them and what might have become of those that instead of going and giving their life for their country may have run and dodged their service. What might have become of them if they hadn't have gave their life, and what might have become of us if we hadn't have surrendered to God. God, and all these things as we think about what might become of this land and country if the church, I'm saying God's people, not just this building, but God's people would get on fire once again like we ought to be, and we would get worried about our kindred, that we'd get worried about our near kinsmen, that we'd get worried about our friends and our enemies, that we'd get worried about the way that it used to be in serving God, humble hearts surrendered to Him, willing to say, amen, oh me, lift a hand, shed a tear, crack a smile whenever God was working on your heart, be able just to share with someone Jesus. What might it be like today in America if we would get back to serving God the way that we ought to and the way that God's Word tells us? Now we see in Nehemiah chapter 1, beginning in the first verse, it says, the word of Nehemiah, the son of Hekaliah, and it came to pass in the month of Cheslu, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan, the palace, that Hanan, one of my brethren, came, he and certain men of Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity, there in the providence, are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. And it came to pass, when I heard these words, that I sat down, and wept, and mourned certain days, and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Now we see that Nehemiah here, whenever he received the news of what was going on, that his heart was broken. It said he sat down and he wept. When was the last time that we shed a tear for America? When was the last time that we shed a tear because our walls are broken down and our gates are burning with fire? We hear of the terrible storm that came through last year, still recovering from it there on the boardwalk in Atlantic City, and all this opening it back up into things this past week there and having their celebrations and all these things. But how quick a little storm can do some damage that comes through there. Just a little bit of nature turned loose there to wreak havoc on their coast. And then we think about the tornadoes and the terrible destruction they did there in Ohio. And oh, we'll hear about it for just a little while and people will cry out, we need to do this and we need to do that. But soon after they forget, soon after they're just a thought in the back of their mind and they're not thought of anymore. But all of a sudden, whenever one person has a terrible tornado, they talk about all the ones that's going on and have went on and bring back to mind all those things. But when it comes to serving God, how many times do we go back to the condition when we were lost and thank God for salvation? When our gates were broken down and burned with fire, when our walls were destroyed and we had no hope, we had no chance of going to heaven because we didn't know Jesus as a Savior. We didn't know Him as being our kinsman to pay our sin debt. How many times do we go back to that place and we sit down and we weep and mourn for those that are lost? How many times do we go back and think about those that are trying to escape the captivity, trying to escape, but it's not captivity when we surrender to Jesus? Thank God when we surrender, we're set free, and free indeed that whenever Jesus comes in, He don't hold us captives. He breaks the bonds off of us and sets us free that we can serve Him and that we would want to love Him and not made to love Him. But brethren and sisters, today, how many times have we sat down and wept over the condition that we've got in? We'll talk about it. Oh, it's this one's fault. Oh, it's that one's fault. But let me tell you whose fault it is. We look at them every time we look in the mirror because we've not done all that we could. We've not gave all that we could for the service of God. We've not gave our life. We've not give our blood. We've not give our sweat and our tears. Many times we give a little mouth service and we think we've got it covered. But friend, God wants us to give 100% unto His service. Just as Nehemiah was heartbroken, today we need to be heartbroken for the lost and dying of America, not just Allegheny County. Yes, we need to be concerned with our loved ones and our friends that we know, but we need to be concerned about those that we don't know that are lost and dying and going to hell, because no one is telling them today, because they're not sitting down, they're not weeping, and they're not sharing with the lost and dying world the story of Jesus. We hear more about Walmart, Costco, Sam's, how bad a driver Jimmy Johnson is, and that NASCAR is Jimmy Johnson's domain and he's their driver. We don't like Toyota, we don't like Ford, we don't like Chevy. We'll spend time talking about that, but we don't talk about the Lord. It's not a popular subject on a lot of people's lips today. We want to blame Him for everything. Oh, it's His fault. No. We look at where the blame lies, and it lies right back here. Right here, because He's given us the book, in order to live by. He had Nehemiah here. He had a heart's desire for his homeland. Do we have a heart's desire for New Hope Church? Do we have a heart's desire for the New Hope community? For Piney Creek, Law Springs, Stratford, Sparta, and parts further on, Glade Creek, Roaring Gap? Do we have a heart's desire for Allegheny? Do we have a heart's desire for North Carolina that we'll surrender and go back to God? I'm afraid that we've lost that desire. Oh, we'll talk about it from time to time. But when we hear the words, do we get broken in heart because we hear of such trouble that's going on? When we hear of a church that's having trouble, it should sadden us to our very core that trouble is coming in another one of God's houses. We have suffered our own troubles. And the only way that we'll keep from suffering more is to stay committed to God. To stay looking at God and look for His direction. To look for His guidance. But when he heard these words, it said he sat down and wept and mourned certain days. Certain days. You know, we're so busy in our life that when we hear news of someone that's sick, someone that's lost, someone that suffered a tragedy, a car wreck, a house fire, some kind of accident, we may think about it for an hour. But after that, our life catches back up with us, and we're so consumed with self that we forget anyone else. It's amen or oh me, but that's what happens. But Nehemiah had a concern and he mourned for certain days for the news that he received as he remembered, no doubt, Jerusalem in its glory days. When it was a place that people wanted to come to. When it was a place that they had, that they could come and be able to be together in the protected city. But afterwards it said he prayed. Beginning in verse 5, we see what he says. And he said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, thou great and terrible God that keepeth covenants and mercies for them that love him and observe his commandments. Do you see some things that's pointed out here? It says that he keeps the covenants of those that love him and observe his commandments. It's not the 10 suggestions. That's in God's Word. Amen. It's the 10 commandments that we study. There's more commandments that's in God's Word that He tells us. But those are the 10 that we see there and we study and we hold up. Because on those 10, all the rest of them, if we keep those 10, we pretty much cover all the rest of them. As they were given to Moses there on the mount. As God pinned them on the tablets of stone. The 10 commandments. That we observe His commandments, His last commandments that were given to us in the New Testament that Jesus gave us was to love the Lord God with all of our heart and to love our neighbors as ourselves. And on these two hinge all the rest. Those commandments, do we keep those today? Do we love our neighbor as ourselves? I know people in this county that don't know who their neighbor is and they live side by side. Don't have a clue about them or anything else. Don't know if they go to church. Don't know if they're saved or lost. Don't even know what nationality they are most of the time. We have so many different ones in the county that we live now, whether from Cuba or Mexico or from here in America or maybe Canada. We have so many people coming in, even in foreign states that's on up yonder north, that come and retire down here. And then we'll change our southern way of living. Enough about that, I'll start meddling. But we love Him. And if we love Him, He wants to keep His covenant with us. But He wants us to love Him and keep His commandments. And keep His commandments. Let thine ear now be attentive and thine eyes open that thou mayest hear the prayers of thy servant, which I pray before thee now, night and day, or day and night, for the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel. Boy, that's something we don't hear today. We heard it in the prayer twice this morning. Brother Philip said, forgive me of my sin. Brother Boy Man asked the Lord to forgive him of his sin as he come up and laid the offering this morning. But we don't hear people confessing their sin and asking for forgiveness. We want to throw a blanket on it. Do you ever go to God knowing what sins in your life that you've committed, and name them and say, forgive me? No, we won't throw a blanket over it under the umbrella of just sin. We don't want to name them, because you know what then? We're admitting we know exactly what we done. Amen. We know that we done it willfully, and we know that we done it against the Word of God. And that's when it gets hard. That's when it gets quiet, when we think about confessing our sins before God. For the children of Israel, thy servant, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have committed against thee, both I and my father's house have sinned. He didn't say that. No, yonder needs to, boy, they need to be in there, preacher. You'd have skinned them good. You ever have that thought? Boy, they should have been here. I know who he is preaching to. Oh, better back up. The truck might have stopped at your door and you just didn't get the package. But he said, I and my father's house have sinned. We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It tells us that in Romans. There's none perfect. But we use that for an excuse. Well, God knows that I'm not perfect. You know, he's going to forgive me anyway. I might as well mess up and then ask for forgiveness. We make up the statement, it's better to ask for forgiveness than permission. Let me tell you, if God said no, he ain't going to change his mind. You ever have your kids want to go somewhere? Oh, please, let me go spend the night there. Please, 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 please. Oh, please, I'll do anything. All right, do the dishes and clean your room. Oh, my goodness gracious. That's the way we act with God. That's exactly the way we treat Him. We have dealt very corruptly against thee and have not kept thy commandments, nor the statutes, nor the judgments which thou commandest thy servant Moses. They were living by the law in this time of Nehemiah. Jesus was still yet to come. Nehemiah and the folks there were still living by the law, still living by what God had given Moses, had handed down to them that they was living by, but yet they hadn't kept those commandments that God had given Moses. So in turn, they hadn't kept the commandments that God had given them. Now, in today, fast forward. In our society today, we don't want to mention the name Jesus because we might offend those folks that don't believe in Him. Well, let me tell you, Jesus offended them before He ever walked here. He offended them while He walked here, and He's still going to offend them. Don't make no difference whether they believe in Him or not. They're going to be offended at the name of Jesus because of the sin that's in their life. The name of Jesus needs to be on the lips of America today. Amen. The name of Jesus needs to be upon our places of worship and our places of service. We want to use God's Word to confirm or make someone swear upon to tell the truth. But yet, when it comes time to create laws, we leave it in the dust. It's on our buildings in Washington, but it shouldn't be on our lips or in our schoolhouses on the walls. Something's wrong with our priorities. Amen. We are not keeping the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the judgments which thou commandest. Not only by Moses' sayings, but by what God has said. Remember, I beseech thee, the word that thou commandest thy servant Moses, saying, if ye transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. I've thought about that many times. As we look around us, and I'm not saying that immigration's a bad thing. When people come the way they're supposed to by the laws, become law-abiding citizens of America, and get all their paperwork and everything in order, then it's great and wonderful. Come, I wouldn't want to live where they live either. I would want to live in the best place upon the face of the earth that God has given us. Amen. But don't come try to change it. Amen. To an atheistic world. Don't come try to change it into a not a God-believing place anymore. Amen. And don't tell me that serving my God is going to be offensive to you. people become natural citizens this past week, took the oath of their citizenship and all that they done to get here and be legal American citizens, to pay taxes, to live and have the American dream, and also an opportunity to know Jesus. An opportunity to know the truth. To know the truth. There's so many lies that's being shared today that people are taking for truth. Some saying they're the Word of God, but they're far from it. But if ye turn unto me and keep my commandments and do them, though they were of you cast out into the uttermost part of the heaven, yet will I gather them from thence and will bring them unto the place that I have chosen to set my name there. God will gather us together. God is going to gather His people together. And the place that He's going to put His name as a dwelling place for us, because we have surrendered to Him, that He'll gather us unto the place. In the New Testament, it talks about those that was going to come from all walks of life, from all parts of the world, not just from Jerusalem, and was going to sit down in the Father's house and be gathered together. That's you and I, the Gentile race. Thank God that He made a way when He was rejected of His people. And we need to remember there was a time when we were without hope. Remember, there was a time when we were desolate and didn't have a Savior, and were destined to go to hell because we didn't have a sacrifice for sin. But Jesus saw our need. He saw His people rejecting Him and the Gentile people receiving Him. And He made a way that all men could be saved. For there are thy servants and thy people whom thou hast redeemed by thy great power and by thy strong hand. We were listening to a song the other day about Jesus and us holding hands. As He reached down, we reached up as He's holding our hand. This week, evidently, He's had to hold mine a little tighter because I've got arthritis, or He's having to squeeze to hold on to me to keep me from something or bring me through something. But this hand this week is just hurt and it's throbbed and it's ached. It's probably old age creeping into it. I think it was that rubber mallet where I was putting down the floor the other day, but I ain't 100% sure on that. But it's ached and it's hurt. Might have been using them post hole diggers to plant tomatoes. I planted them deep. I wanted to have a good root system. Hit water in a time or two in the holes, but... God said that, now these are my servant and thy people whom thou hast redeemed by thy great power and by thy strong hand. His strong hand. It's not mine. And the strongest that I have ever been, I'm the weakest thing on earth. I'm a carnal, fleshly man. Weak. Weak. I was talking about the other night. I've been places where people had the flu, didn't know they had the flu, went in, prayed with them, was there with them. God took care of it. Didn't end up with the flu. Places people just sick with a cold. Oh, you don't need to be around. God take care of it. He always has. Now, I may come down with a cold in the morning. If I do, that's just, I got a cold. God take care of it too. That'll be Satan trying to attack the body. Let me tell you, my God's greater. He has delivered me by His great power, because His death at the cross, Him going to a borrowed tomb and resurrecting on the third day, through His great power, I've got life. Through His great power and His strong hand, the stone was rolled away. That I could get in to see He wasn't there any longer. Amen. That He had ascended back to the Father. Nehemiah was getting down to business praying. O Lord, I beseech Thee, let not Thine ear be attentive to a prayer, to the prayer of Thy servant, and to the prayer of Thy servant who desire to fear Thy name and prosper. I pray Thee, Thy servant, this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man. Now, Nehemiah was fixing to go before the king. In the last part of that verse, it says, "For I was the king's cupbearer." He was the man right there before the king, tasting of his wine, tasting of his food, make sure he wasn't poisoned, because they got somebody that wasn't too much importance, and let them taste it. I don't think that'd been a very good job. Might have been eating the king's food, but you were the one that was going to die first if somebody was trying to poison the king. The joker that I am, I would have grabbed my throat or something and lost my head anyway, because he wouldn't have thought it was too funny. But Nehemiah said, "Give this man and grant to your servant mercy as I go before him this day." Nehemiah wanted to do something. On Memorial Days and days like this, we want to do something to remember those that gave so much. And every time that we enter God's house, we should want to do something for God, remembering how much He's done for us, how much He gave, that we might be saved. As Mark said, "Sometimes when I think about who I am and what I'm able to do for God, I don't see why in the world He would love me. Why He would have gave Himself for me. When I see people taking God's name in vain and cussing a blue streak, I think, God, you died for that person who's taking your name in vain. When they're out killing and carrying on and out doping and doing all the things that they do, but yet you love them anyway. And all we can ask is, God, give me a little bit of that love. Help me. Help me, Lord, that I can love that same way. And just a little bit." Because sometimes just a little bit of love goes a long way in somebody else's life. Because they don't know what it is. They don't know what it is to have somebody care for them. A lot of them are like kids today that are just, they're as soon as they get up big enough to walk, they're out on their own. They're out running around in the yard in their diaper. Sometimes they don't even have that on. They're out running through the woods and carrying on, out destroying stuff, and think they're just having a big time, doing what they want to, and nobody giving them instruction. And then one day they wonder, "I don't know why they're in jail. I don't know why they're in jail." You take a tame animal and turn it loose and let it run wild, and pretty soon it'll return to its wild ways. A child will do the same thing. We need to have a little love. Someone said to my wife the other day that what the world needs today is a little bit of Jesus. She told him, "Nope, what the world needs today is a lot of Jesus." Amen. Not just a little bit. That's the problem. People have just enough Jesus to satisfy them and make themselves feel good. But they don't have enough Jesus to feel good for someone else, or to care about someone else, or to be compassionate, or to be concerned, or to live a life that's before God and before people pleasing unto God. Have you been satisfied with a little bit of Jesus? Friend, if you are, you need a lot of Jesus, not just a little bit. You need to surrender all. Nehemiah here was willing to put his life on the line as he goes before the king. Because he knew that if he entered in there with a sad countenance, the king was going to question. And they asked God to extend to him mercy through this man. Now, God can use evil people to do good things. Do you believe that? Listen, Satan can use good people to do evil things. Do you believe that? I've seen it happen. But we shouldn't let Satan have that much control if we're committed to God. Shouldn't be enough room for Satan in our life if Jesus is there. Oh, but every once in a while he gets his toe hold. That's all he needs. Satan is like a lot of people. You give them an inch, they think they're a ruler. That's what Satan believes. If he gets an inch in your life, he thinks he's your ruler. Give it all to Jesus and he'll know who the ruler is. Nehemiah goes on before the king and tells him of his heart's desire for his homeland. Pleads his cause in case before him, and Nehemiah's king there gives him writings to go back and repair the walls. Gives him the supplies he needs. Told him to take off whatever time that was necessary and go back home and rebuild it. If this is your heart's desire, you go back and you rebuild the place of your God. and I'll give you the stuff to do it. Everybody thinks that our government has all the answers. And we have gave it so much power that it thinks it's a beast that can rule and reign over us in a dominant fashion. But the one that we need to allow to have all power, all control, all guidance in our life, His name is Jesus. Amen. And it's time that we surrender and remember. As we remember and we pay homage to those that gave their life, so should we remember what God has done for us and for them, that they surrendered all, that we could do this today. But Jesus surrendered all that heaven had to pay your sin debt and mine, to change our black sins to make them white as snow through His crimson blood, shed on the cross of Calvary. I don't want to take anything away from what Memorial Day should be. It should be a time of remembrance, a time of respect, a time of honor to those that have served our country. And we need to remember those. We need to remember our men and women that are still with us that served to protect us and to protect others, to give them the same freedoms that we enjoy. But we also need to remember the sacrifice that God made every day. Amen. For you and for me, that we would not have to die and go to the devil's hell, but that heaven will be our home. He went and built the walls. He set the gates upon their post in heaven. He paved the street, it says, with gold. He set the foundations of the walls in precious stones. The gate of pearl. I can't imagine what the rest of it's going to be like. And to see the Son of God shining in His brilliance, and us have a body to stand in the presence and have eyes to look upon the Son of God and be able to bow at His feet and thank you. I can't fathom the sacrifice that He made that I could have that privilege. Let's think about it, church, daily. Our memorial of what God has done for us. Let's remember today, not just have times of barbecues, the official kickoff to summer that some call, it's lost its meaning in a lot of lives, what today means. For service families, it means totally something different than it does to a lot of people. No doubt beer sales went up, hot dog sales went up, hamburger sales went up for all the barbecues, the parties, and the times of getting together, and oh, we're going to have a day off from work tomorrow, and we can party it up today. But yet there's less and less people attending His house. Less and less people fully committed to serving God. They should be committed. Friend, this morning I'm going to ask you if you're committed to God. If He's knocked at your heart's door, have you surrendered and asked Him to come in and save you? Have you surrendered wholeheartedly to Jesus? I'm not just talking about a time that you come and cried and felt better. You can cry and feel good. Oh, that's a cleansing of the soul. You get down and you can boo-hoo. But did you meet Jesus? Did you truly get saved? Did you get what it took? Now, it's not three or four times that you're going to get saved, as talked about the other week. It's one time that you truly get saved. Amen. Truly get saved. One time, and that's sufficient. We don't have to put Him back on the cross daily. Amen. There's no use of that. No use of that. One time was sufficient. And you can be baptized till every tadpole knows you by name. Don't mean you're saved. It's if Jesus knows your name. And He writes it down in that Lamb's Book of Life. And it says sealed until the day of redemption. As we stand to our feet, all heads bowed, all eyes closed. Friend, is your name on the Lamb's Book of Life? Not just the Book of Life, but on the Lamb's Book of Life. Not just an existence, but a true life to be lived out for an eternity and glory with God.